addition to the casks purchased from different distilleries in their warehouses, Signatory House also has a direct source for one malt whiskey, having purchased the Edradour. Thank you. Edradour Distillery.
I've been drinking. Yeah.
2002. That's on the sobriety test. Saying that word failed. Signatory bottlings are all single casks.
Edradour is also Scotland's smallest distillery. They're famous for their distillery cat.
Oh, now cool. I got to respect a distillery that takes care of a cat.
That's right.
I don't hold it against them that they like cats.
I'm excited.
Distilleries need dogs.
It's not like a distilleries need dogs. You know.
All right.
I'm excited to talk about the Signatory Glenlivet 2007 Unchill.
Moment the world has waited for.
Unchill filtered collection. It's 62.6% alcohol by volume, or 125.2 proof. And I sure didn't do that math. Distilled September 4th, 2007. It's aged 14 years, matured in a first fill sherry butt. And the color is dark orange. But what does that really mean? Nothing. Because they can put their own caramel if they want to.
Not in this, they don't.
They don't.
But well, they're allowed. It's a nice color.
They're allowed to in Scotland.
Yeah.
Mostly blended whiskeys do that stuff.
On the nose, I got raisins, prunes, touch of grapefruit. On the palate, mouth-filling spice, black pepper. The finish, long and vibrant. And water takes it to another level. And what did you think, Brent?
Well, on the nose, I got molasses and plum. And then the palate was huge mouth coating, just huge. I got a big sherry notes on it, the plum, raisins, cloves came through with the spices, the spice for me, and a nice, heavy, full finish. It's just this nice, it's a beautiful tingling sensation in your mouth and your palate, and you know, on your back of your palate for your finish. And I like how it doesn't stop. You know, when you talk about ones that you enjoy and you want to just sit back and relax, you can enjoy something like this because it's just going to last, you know, last the whole night, last forever for you.
This is nothing like their blended product on the shelves, which is also awesome.
What blended product?
Glenlivet's not blended.
Single malt.
Okay.
We'll be back.
It's multiple casks.
The destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Would you like to retract that statement?
No, but we can discuss it.
All right. Justin said blended when he meant Glenlivet. He meant multiple barrel products. But what? Glenlivet is a single malts.
Yeah,
it's a blend of, you know, several casks. Like, I think it's 100 casks per batch or something like that. This is a single cask, so it's still a single malt, but this is one barrel. And Bob and I were discussing with you guys off the air was some of the best stuff from these distilleries comes from these independent bottlers. Yeah. Instead of, here, let's take 100 barrels and make our standard everyday stuff, our most pedestrian, appeals to everybody. We have to make the same flavor profile every year, year after year.
Which is fine.
Which is what you do.
I mean, that's why you're selling a lot. I totally get that, but it's different.
These guys are going for unique. This tastes like no other Glenlivet you've had.
Nothing like any
other Glenlivet. It's a single barrel product. They made, let's see, is this right here? They made, this is a barrel number... 900662. There's only 611 bottles of this made. If they, you want this exact
they
one.
They can send me the other 610. I'd be perfectly happy with it. But
so this is going to be unique.
These well, that's really and that's why value, we man. Love doing, you know, the private independent bottlers. Yeah. I mean, you know, folks like Signatory, a lot of times, some of the best whiskeys from the various distilleries we get from the independent bottlers, not from the distilleries themselves. Now, not saying they're not putting out a good product, but because you're, you know, you're targeting, you're throwing a dart at one barrel at a time. So they're able to pick out some of these, you know, sunshine barrels, the, you know, that God shone his light upon them and said, that's going to be a good one. They're able to pick those out.
Bob, I want the barrel with the halo around it. That's the one I want. Now,
and we've had a few of those. Yeah. You know, I mean,
if this bottle disappears, don't look in my house. Yeah. Just be wasting your time.
Yeah, like the best Kalila I've ever had was actually a Signatory Kalila.
It was always not from Kalila.
It's not from Kalila.
Yeah, the coolest Kalila I've ever had has always been from somebody else. I don't know why.
Porter McPhail makes a good one, but I had a Signatory one that was amazing. You know.
Yeah.
So these guys just go to these distilleries. They get to pick through any barrels they want, and then
just like
buy
when store store picks with like
yeah.
with our Lucky Seven or our Elijah Craig. I turned down 16 barrels of Elijah Craig before I got one I liked. Right?
Are they bringing these guys like six samples and say pick one if you want? Or
I don't know if they're going
there
and trying.
These guys are going there.
Yeah, they're probably going.
And they're probably not doing that. They're probably like doing like we did. We'd like, we'll taste 10, decide we don't want anything. Come back another time, taste another 10. You know?
But you know what? But with this one, they picked the right barrel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
and they did their own aging. And they moved it to their own warehouse. So you've changed some of the factors. The variables are changed.
They've added value.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic barrel.
So anyway, I as for the tasty notes, I got more butterscotch and caramel when I first approached it. But the tasty notes are kind of gelling with what you guys said. I'm getting like, it's like a fruitcake. It's like a really golden brown fruitcake with tons of butter. There's dried fruit. There's pastry. There's bread. There's vanilla.
Not the one you get from your mother-in-law, say thank you, and throw it in the trash. This one's good.
And if you're a sherried scotch fan, this is the one you want.
Like I lived in New Orleans, and they there was a Franciscan Friars who used to make fruitcake. People would come from other parts of the country to buy their fruitcake. This is that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be rating the Signatory Glenlivet 2007 an extremely well-deserved five sips.
Without hesitation.
So we're going to move on to our next one and have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The next one is the Signatory Pulteney 2008 Cask Strength Collection, 56.2% ABV or 112.4 proof. This is distilled May 27, 2008. 13 years old, matured in refilled bourbon barrels, and finished for 44 months in a fresh sherry butt. The first thing I'm going to say about this is I don't want to give you my tasting notes without the water, so add water because pre-water was...
You didn't like it at all.
I did not care for it one bit. I mean, I just didn't... There was nothing... I didn't care for it. I just didn't like it at all. So you have to add water to this one. On the nose, you're going to... The raisins come out. I get a little bit of a coffee on there on the.
I'm getting oatmeal now.
You getting some oatmeal?
It wasn't there before. It's after air.
Yeah. On the palate though, I get the raisins. I get the coffee. I get like a white pepper spice. Everything for me for the mouthfeel is all back palate. But the one thing that stayed the same for me from the water to the no water was a very kind of dry finish. And I had this, it's opening up a little bit more with the water, but it just hasn't got there yet as far as it's just a little bit too dry for me. But Harm, what do you think?
I have to agree with you. I hate agreeing with you, but I have to agree with you. This is the weakest one I've had from them today, but probably for a long time. I do like Putney. I just think this barrel didn't hit it. This was not the one that God shined upon.
Yeah.
It was okay.
What it's not bad. You know, it's not a it's just compared to the others we've received them.
I'm not even comparing to the others. Like if you just poured this to me like I'm in a fancy restaurant,
I'd go, I'd okay. Like,
yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something you'd pour.
It's got a nice sherry note to it. I get some sweet sultanas on the palate. It's a little bit creamy.
It's dry.
It's got a nice viscosity to it, but it is. It's a little bit dry.
It fools you because the viscosity is really good, but then the flavor's not there, and then it just ends like very tannic and very drying.
What do you think, Justin?
Well,
okay, he's done.
I remember like old Pulteney 17.
Yeah.
Old Pulteney 21.
Yeah.
We were getting some like really clean, serious apple action going on, like you're drinking good fruit box.
Back in like 15 years ago, I think their best whiskey of the year.
Yeah. Now, this has that fruit. You would identify this as old Pulteney in a blind test, but it's spicy and rich.
Yeah.
So I'll disagree with you guys. And that I actually like the take on it because it's old Pulteney different.
Well, and again, it's a single barrel.
It's a single barrel. Everybody's different.
Yeah, so they're all different. So that's the thing. Well, we're going to be rating the Signatory Pulteney 2008 Cask Strength Collection 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next one from Signatory, which is the Glen Grant 2000 Cask Strength Collection, 57.3% ABV, 114.6 proof. This was distilled January 25th of 2000. It's 22 years old, matured in refill butts and finished in a fresh sherry butt for 19 months. Got a beautiful, dark, 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 rich color to it. On the nose, it's got a little bit. It's a little bit of flowers, a little creaminess on the nose. But on the palate, burnt toffee, dark coffee, rich notes. It's got a very nice, rich, matured but not dry oak to it. Dark stewed fruit. Very dark whiskey. I'm absolutely loving this one. I mean, I'm a big Glen Grant fan anyway, but this is really well done. I mean, this one's really, really well done. What'd you think, Harm?
This one was kind of weird for me. It's 22 years old. It's 114 proof. I refuse to add water to it, which is different for me. Loads of raisin and chocolate. And the fruit, I had a hard time figuring it out. Now that it's had time to breathe, it's fig jam. It's cherries and fig jam, but not cherry jam, but like fresh cherries and fig jam.
No, it'll give me the fig jam. Absolutely, the fig jam. It's like eating a fig Newton.
I get the white flowers that you're mentioning as well. And wow, this is just such a beautiful whiskey. And the palate is just heavy, mouth coating. It's full of toffee and sweetness. And
it's dark and brooding and just, oh.
This is Heathcliff on the Moors.
Exactly. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. What'd you think, Justin?
So, on the beginning, I got nice oak, I got caramel, and then I got like brie, and then saganaki, which is the flaming Greek cheese with that caramelized little bits on the top.
It's not the cheese part. You're talking about the flaming the brandy, the metaxa.
No.
Really?
I'm talking about
the actual
flaming cheese.
I know what saganaki is, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to Greek Fest next week.
The little crispy bits of the saganaki.
All right.
Just finishes there. And the finish is just a nice, vibrating, long finish. It didn't start that way, but after water, man, it really opened it up.
I haven't touched it with water. Should I do it?
I did. I didn't get a huge bump. It definitely opened it up a little bit.
Could be oxidization in time.
It's still dark and sinister and just, like you said, Heathcliff on the Moors. You know, when I drink this, I think of a dark, foggy, rainy moor with werewolves.
Werewolves, definitely werewolves.
You know.
Werewolves in a bottle?
Exactly. Yeah, this is fantastic. What do you think, Brent?
I enjoyed this one. You know, when you mentioned the fig Newtons, those are that does that. You know, you have that burnt toffee to it.
Yeah,
you know, and it's got that
toffee
to it.
And the fig jam. Fantastic.
Exactly. You know, so it's that and pleasant. I I added water to it. I enjoyed it more with the water than without the water. I think the water brought out more sweetness,
but I think I like it either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's floral on that floral. Yeah. Well, we're floral Fig Newtons and burnt toffee.
We're going to be rating the Signatory Glen Grant 2000 Cast Strength Collection a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
It's 5 and you know it.
I think it's 5, but we have some heathens at the table with us.
Heathens.
Can we stab them?
Yes.
All right. Stab them in the eye.
Yes.
So let's...
oop, hit my glasses again.
Let's go to Harm for our next one.
Do you mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
Oh, what do we got here? Kleinleash.
Nope.
Rosalila.
Kalila.
Oh, well, Kalila. I skipped one.
You know, I didn't even take any notes on this. I just gave it a rating. I loved it.
Well,
I'm going to do my notes live for you.
It's Kalila. You're already happy.
I'm already happy. It's Kalila.
I understand. I mean, again, we're at the table with heathens.
And it's a Signatory Kalila. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, my favorite Kalila ever, I think, was either a Gordon McPhail or a Signatory Cast Strength. And what is this? Mm-hmm. It is a Cast Strength.
Who loves you?
57% ABV.
Who loves you?
Bob, you're the best. Thank you for making this happen.
Good boy, Mongo. Here, Mongo, smell. Smell, Mongo. Good boy.
114 proof, distilled October 12, 2010, 11 years old. And this is the key thing. Kalila, 9 to 13 years old, is the sweet spot. If you guys are finding a private distiller, a private bottler, independent bottler, whatever, and you see, don't look for that 12. Look for younger or a little bit older. That's what you want. I think not 8, 9, 10 are good, but 9 has been my favorite. This is, what is this? 11. And this is beautiful. The color is a deep mahogany. The nose, wow. It's burnt toffee at a wood fire with maritime sea smoke, saltiness, caramel, rich fruit underneath. Because Kalila's always like taking a marshmallow and putting it in the fire and then waiting until it turns black. And then you let that, you blow it, the fire goes out, and you get that you've got that charcoal briquette on the end of your stick. But underneath there's that sweetness. That's what Kalila is to me. And this is what these guys bring.
And that's point. Now counterpoint, Brent.
I've never chewed a burnt stick that got sweet.
underneath that charcoal is that sweetness.
For the man who hates peat and smoke, okay.
It's oily and rich. It sticks to your palate.
You're the one who said it tasted like a burnt stick, and I agree with you. And I agree with you, but I don't get a sweetness after
underneath
a burnt stick.
You taste that marshmallow and tropical fruit underneath.
This is where... Nope. I am not gonna enjoy it. It smells like a burnt cow field to me, and it tastes like a burnt stick to me. It's just what it was. This one is not for me. It's for you.
Yeah. It's for
me. That's okay.
I get just a wisp of campfire smoke. It's not overwhelming on the nose.
No, whatsoever. No, it's not overwhelming as far as smoke goes.
I get a rich peatness to it, but not
on the
in your face. I get a lovely sweet toffee.
It's not like some of these others that we've had that's overly
again,
smoked.
Again, a beautiful, and that's not Kalila's style anyway. So,
right.
A beautiful Kalila. The Signatory.
Lighter smoke.
Well, the Signatory Kalila 2010 Cast Strength Collection, we're going to rate a well-deserved 4 sips.
We're skipping Justin because we have to go fast.
We're going to Justin for our last one, so.
We're going to talk about Signatory Kleinleash 1990.
The moment the world has waited for.
There you go.
Cast Strength Collection. 43% alcohol. Well, 43.7 alcohol by volume. And 87.4 proof. Distilled in 1990. 31 years old. Matured in ex-bourbon barrel. It's sweet. I got light grapes on the nose. Salty on the palate. Sweet, dusty, vanilla. The finish was long and narrow, but that was like an hour ago now. Pretty much the same thing. What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, I got some green apples on the nose. The nose was more promising than the palate for me. This is going to be one of those ones that the Scotch guys are going to love. The bourbon guys are not going to love.
I mean, for me...
We almost got into a fist fight over this one.
When I smelled, the first thing I got was the green apples and like sour grapes.
Yep.
Once I let it get some air and put some water in, I got cookie dough, like just specifically shortbread dough. It's got a huge fruit salad on the palate for me once you add water. The fruit really comes through. I think Harm said candied violets. That really comes through. Orange peel.
Apple, pear, orange, grape.
Yeah.
It's all there. It's a fruit salad. I got the candied violets, and I freaking love this, and they hated it, or Brent and Justin did. I don't know. God, this split us.
Well, they're heathens.
Did I just say stab them in the eyes?
It was very polarizing. If you're not a Scotch guy,
leave
you're not
alive,
gonna
but stab them in the eyes.
Well, we're going to rate the Signatory Kleinleash 1990 cask strength bourbon, in spite of these two, a well-deserved force it.
That's classified.
Well, that's all we have today. I wish we had some more of these because, God, there was no bad whiskey today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for giving me burnt sticks to chew on.
You're welcome. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you. That was fun.
Man, a few words. Thank you, Harm, for at least having a Scotch
guy. I love you, Bob. Damn their eyes.
Aren't they? Yeah. Well, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And fortunately, we didn't have to do that today. So
speak for yourself.
Man, I'm telling you.
The worst whiskey today was better than some of the best bourbon I've had.
Yeah. Great stuff today. So I love this job.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a one-tan hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
CJSF is 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from the heights of Burnaby Mountain.
This is Bird Note. And this is a sagebrush sparrow singing from atop a big sagebrush. As their name suggests, sagebrush sparrows live in dry, open shrublands. They winter in the desert southwest and migrate as far north as central Washington to breed each spring. About the size of a junco, sagebrush sparrows are dressed in soft grays and browns. You'll often spot these dapper birds singing from a high perch, making it easy to view the distinctive patch of dark feathers at the center of their otherwise white breast. Performance complete, the little bird hops back to the ground to forage for seeds and bugs with his flock. Look for them running rapidly about, with tails cocked up like scampering chipmunks. The sparrow's plaintive song seems to convey a sense of their precarious future in the West. Sagebrush sparrow populations have declined by more than 50% since 1970, largely due to habitat loss from urbanization, agricultural conversion, and wildfires. To support our remaining sagebrush sparrows, we have to protect the landscapes they call home. Learn more about sagebrush conservation at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Sports are a big part of many kids' lives, but climate change is disrupting their ability to play. In a survey by the Aspen Institute, U.S. parents reported that their kids missed an average of 7 days of practices and competitions in 2024 due to extreme and changing weather conditions. For example, extreme heat or wildfire smoke can make it unsafe to play outside. Heavy rain can flood fields. And a major storm can wipe out facilities.
Goals, nets, balls can also be completely threatened in the event of an incident of extreme weather.
Jessica Murphy is an assistant professor in the Department of Exercise and Sports Science at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She says college and professional teams may have the resources to quickly recover after extreme weather, but that's often not the case for youth sports teams.
We don't see these organizations rebuild or relocate in the same way we do at the higher levels.
And community sports programs, which provide affordable access to athletics, often have the hardest time recovering. So as the climate warms, some kids may have fewer opportunities to play and compete. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Some